Charlie,
come here a minute.
What? Give me a minute. What are you wanting? We're just coming a little closer.
Jim, open your lips. Get your tongue. Jim, I don't know what you're listening
to. What are you listening about?
Well, Charlie,
what?
Don't you realize?
What?
Why, this is Halloween.
It's what?
I say this is Halloween.
Sometimes he's so childish, you know.
Well, now, aren't you superstitious?
Me superstitious?
Yes.
Well, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, yes.
I believe it's unlucky to be hit by a truck on Friday the 13th.
Oh, unlucky to be hit by a truck.
Well, especially a black truck.
A black truck, yeah. Well, of course it is, yes. But just the same, tonight is the night when ghosts and goblins are prowling about.
You can't scare me with that stuff, Megan.
Well, I bet I can scare you if I tell you the story of the Headless Horseman.
Headless who?
The Headless Horseman. Now, don't tell me you never read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Awfully sorry.
What?
Sorry, old boy, sorry.
Oh, you don't?
Sorry, old boy, I just don't know it, that's all. That burns noble of you. What's he got left if I do that?
Yeah. Well, I guess you've never heard the story then.
No.
And if you've never heard the story of Sleepy Hollow, well, then, of course, you've just never heard the story of Sleepy Hollow.
Now, there's a hunk of logic. You figure that out all alone.
Yes. Never mind. Charlie?
Yes?
I am going to tell you the story of the Headless Horseman.
No.
Yes.
Oh, we are in luck, aren't we? Oh, I've never been so fortunate.
Yes. Shall I start at the beginning?
It's as good a place as any.
Well, very well. Once upon a time...
Oh, I'm too enthused, yes.
Long, long ago...
Isn't it funny nothing ever happens nowadays, huh? Nothing happens.
Yes. Please. Sorry, yes. There lived an old school teacher by the name of Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod?
No.
What?
Ichabod.
Aren't you a little old for that kind of talk, though?
Well, that was his name, Charlie. Ichabod Crane. Now, one dark and dreary night, Ichabod was riding down a lonely country road.
Well, what's that? I swear, I saw something move.
No. Well, anyway,
yes.
Ichabod was on his way home from school.
That's a very nice place to be coming home from.
Yes. When out of the darkness, he suddenly heard hoofbeats.
Heard what?
Hoofbeats.
No.
Yes.
Hoofbeats?
Yes. What do you think it was?
Yes. Let me work on it.
Yes.
Hoof thief.
Yes.
A snake?
No.
A fish?
No.
I give up.
What, Charlie? It was a horse.
No.
Yes.
Well, I'm a ring-tailed baboon.
No. Now, who do you suppose it was galloping through the night, traveling?
Mrs. Roosevelt?
No.
Oh,
it was a man riding on a horse without a head.
Riding on a horse that had no head? That is ridiculous.
No. What? No. The horse had a head.
Oh, it did?
Yes. Well, he better have. No, it was the man that had no head.
Oh, the man had no head.
Yes.
Oh, well, now that's different.
Yes.
That I can believe. That's logical. Didn't he really have a head?
Well, he had one, yes. But he was carrying it underneath his arm.
That's a nice trick if you can do it. I must try it sometime.
Yes.
Say, that must have scared that old Snickerbob, didn't it?
Who?
You know, old Nickerpoop.
Who?
Nincompoop.
No. You mean Ichabod?
Yeah, Ichabod, yes.
Yes. Well, when he saw this headless man, what do you think he did?
I don't know. Took him in a saloon and said, put a head on it.
No. No, I should say not.
What did you think he said? I don't know. Quick, Watson, the noodle?
No.
Well, that's what I would have said.
Well, I'll tell you. Of course he was so frightened he screamed.
Yeah?
And suddenly, the rider threw his head at Ichabod.
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I say. He threw his head at him.
Yes.
That's using the old bean, isn't it?
Now, isn't that a ghostly story?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And what's more, you have a ghastly way of telling it.
Well, anyway, Ichabod was never seen again.
See.
And the next morning on this lonely road, all that was found was a hat and a smashed pumpkin head. No one knew what to make of it.
Might I suggest pumpkin pie?
No. Say, Billy, how's the football team you were coaching?
Well, I'm all through with football. You know me, another week, another racket.
Yeah, well, what is it this week?
Mr. Goodwin, my car.
Thank you. International stylist and modiste for men. William Gaxton, proprietor.
That's me.
Billy, tell me, what goes with that modiste for men stuff?
Well, you see, my favorite pastime is taking some broken-down, pint-sized, overstuffed, disjointed, swayed-backed character and transforming him into a fashion plate.
Oh? Well, there's your man, Billy, Victor Moore.
Pardon me, my wife says my clothes are very unnifty. Could you make me spiffy in a jiffy?
Well, no, but I'll try to make you natty, fatty. Of course, you're not going to be easy to fit. Mother Nature hasn't been kind to you, has she?
Well, it has been said that I got a dirty deal.
Now, tell me, my man, just what is it your wife doesn't like about your clothes?
She's putting up a big beef because me and my suit don't sag in the same place.
Oh, well. I understand your problem. Now, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell you the snappiest suit you ever saw. With this suit, you get absolutely free an extra pair of slacks, a fireman's axe, the hubcap of a 1929 Essex, and a loving cup filled to the brim with potato salad. There you are. How does that sound to you, my boy?
Well, my brother did better. He just got a suit, and I gave him an overcoat, two pairs of shoes, two hats, and a gun.
Why, that's unfair competition. Who gave all that stuff?
The Army.
The Army. Well, of course. Now, let me make a point. Mr. Moore, all these celebrities buy their clothes from me. For an example, Don Amici buys his suits here.
Well, that's dandy.
Charles Boyer buys his suits here.
Oh, fishy.
And Bing Crosby buys his suits here.
I think I'll go to the place across the street.
Never let it be said that Bubbling Billy Jackson would high-pressure a customer. I always say, let the customer decide. I never rush him into anything. Now, let me take you right over here with me.
Okay, I'll look at the suit, but
put me down. I can walk by myself.
All right. Now, we'll have to find your type. You know, some people you know are the gabardine type, some are the Worcester type, some are the herringbone type.
Well, what type am I?
I think you're tweed.
Oh, I think you're kind of tweed.
Come on now. Now, let's not waste any more time. I'm expecting Rags Raglan. You know, I make all his rags. Now, let me try on this vest.
Okay. This fit me perfectly, doesn't it?
Yes, that's what you call potluck. Huh? Now, now put on this coat here. Put it right on. Ah, look at that. The sleeves are just the right length.
Yeah, but I feel a little naked with my elbows exposed.
Now, stand still. Now, we'll fit this thing on you. Now, let's see. A pin here, a pin there, a pin here, and a pin there.
Ow! Do you have to have a pin there?
Yeah, now, come on now. Button that coat. Ah, look at you. Look at you. You look just like you stepped right out of Esquire.
Esquire?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I step right back in again?
What?
I'd like to see the rest of the pictures.
Ah, come on now. You say the funniest things, Mr. Moore.
Oh, yes. Sometimes I laugh so hard that I think I split. The suit split. This material in this suit can't be very good.
Now, wait a minute. How dare you? Why, that material is 200% wool.
200%?
Sure. The sheet led a double life.
Well, if you're doing business with that kind of sheep, I'm taking it on the lamb. Did you get that, sheep? Lamb?
Come here, you. You think I'm going to let you out of this door without buying this suit? I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to break down and let you have this suit for a song.
Okay, I'll take it. Here's your song. Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down.
It's always cause for celebration when lovely Dorothy L'Amour returns to TNS for a visit. Tonight we're all especially happy because Dottie's going to introduce a beautiful love song called You're the Rainbow from her new Paramount picture, Riding High. Dottie, you're the rainbow.
You're the rainbow. You're the bluebird. Every welcome song. You are. You're a game of golf played under par. My luck, my luck is gone. You're the new, you're the all.
Lovely, Ducky, lovely.
Oh, Charlican's my little passion flower.
Oh, my little lotus bud.
Dorothy, I'm indeed overjoyed to see you again.
Thank you, Edgar.
It's been so long since we last met. So long. So long, Dagan, so long. Why, you make me feel as if I'm not wanted.
Well, good.
But,
I mean, you
know. Now to get back to us, Dottie. Remember when we used to be together every Sunday?
Oh, yes, we had fun, didn't we?
So mad fun we had, yes. And remember those plays I used to write, too?
Oh, yes.
And how you used to ham them up?
Oh, yes. Weren't they corny?
Oh, I don't know. It just so happens I've written another play in your honor.
Oh, you haven't really?
Yes, I really did, yes. I wrote it after seeing you in Dixie, see? With all those river boats, you know, and things with bustles and with padded wheels on the side, paddle wheels, whatever it was.
Oh, good. It sounds like a costume play.
Yes, it does.
I just love to dress up in frills and laces.
You like that sort of thing, do you?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good. And you see, it's the life of Robert Fulton.
Robert Fulton. He invented the steamboat.
Yes, that's what he did. And what did it get him? People only laughed at him, you know.
That's the way it goes. They laughed at Columbus.
Yes.
They laughed at Edison.
True.
They laughed at Marconi.
Yes, that's true. It's too bad they don't laugh at Bergen, isn't it?
Oh, Charlie, I just know you've saved the nicest part for me.
Yes, I have. And I play the part of Robert Fulton, and you're my wife.
I'm Mrs. Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
Just what am I like?
Well, let's see. Can you speak with a sort of a Scotch plaid? I think you should.
I sure can, honey, child.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's near enough. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, Charlie.
I need your help, Mr. Goodwin. Mm. You know, I've written a play.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I write.
Well, what a coincidence. I read.
Oh, you fool, you.
Yes, I'm sorry,
Charlie. Well, here's your pipe, Goodwin. Now tell him about it, and don't lock it up.
Well, thank you. And now, contrary to public demand, we present this astounding turkey.
Yeah?
Entirely unrehearsed, unbiased, and uncalled for.
Will you watch it, Goodwin? Watch it?
For no earthly reason, the curtain slowly, majestically rises.
Now, that's what comes of no rehearsal.
The great day has arrived. The world's first steamboat is about to depart on its trial run. We find the inventor, Robert Fulton, nervously pacing the deck.
Oh, that's me. Oh, dear. Oh, my darling wife. Today I'm going to prove to the world that your husband is a great inventor.
Just think, I married a great shipbuilder.
Yes. Yes. And maybe later on, if there, you know, we may have some little tugs.
You all is a great man.
Yeah, I are. Sure are. Yeah, the whole gang of me. Yeah. Well, at that, I guess I really do have a mechanical mind.
I declare, sometimes I think you forget to wind it.
Don't say that, sweetheart. Why, I'd gladly kill myself working for you.
You always say that, but you never does it.
Oh, goody, we steam up. Oh, we're ready to shove off. Ship ahoy. Anchors away. Scuttle the binnacles.
What does that mean, Robert?
I don't know. All the captains say it, though, I think.
Hey, can I take your picture, Miss Fulton?
How can you take our pictures? Cameras haven't been invented yet.
Well, that's all right. I haven't any film in it anyway.
Oh, look how excited the people are. Listen to the crowd cheering.
Hooray for Robert Fulton.
Dad.
There you are, Mr. Fulton. I just barely made the boat.
Well, how did you know we were here, Squire Noble?
Oh, I saw the sign on your office door, out to launch.
Jack, Robert.
It's jokes like that that make us go off and leave you.
Oh, but after all, you know, I put up all the money for this beastly steamboat.
Yeah?
Don't get yourself in a tizzy, Squire Noble. You're about the most wonderfulest, handsomest man I ever met.
Oh, you're just saying that because it's so.
You're a nice sort of a chap, but you're just not very nautical.
Oh, no, I have my moments, yeah.
What I mean is you don't know boats.
Oh, on the contrary. My grandfather was a naval architect in a silver factory.
Naval architect in a silver factory?
Yes. He designed gravy boats.
Why don't you take that joke and go scuttle yourself?
Look, Robert, we're moving pretty fast now.
Yeah.
My, you're a wonderful navigator.
Yeah. Right. I know every sandbar in this river.
Oh, there's one of them now.
Oh, this is the most wonderful invention in the world. Tell me, just how does a steam engine work?
Well, just a minute here. I can tell you how it works.
Well, who are you?
Yeah, well, I'm Axel Svensson. I'm the engineer on this here yacht. Yeah, that's how it is. If you want to know anything about a steam engine, well, I'm just a feller by a company. And that's how it is, and that's how it is.
You folks will just have to put up with it. He insists on doing it.
Tell me, Axel, are we going up the river or down?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, you know. The boat, she leaks, so we might go down. On the other hand, the boiler, she's kind of weak, so we might go up.
Isn't the boat sailing on the fire?
Well, I think yes, a little bit, yes. I think we have a jellyfish jammed in the propeller.
Maybe the engine isn't strong enough.
No, I don't think this.
Why, that's poppycock and safety valve. Why, this engine developed 40 horses, 2 nanny goats, and a slow carrying.
Oh, Robert, you're so smart. Yes. You must know everything.
Well, I have the working knowledge of it, yeah.
You make me feel so insignificant. I'm just a poor, no count, little old gal with hardly any little old brains in my little old head.
How little old right you are.
Now, well, excuse me, please. I just want to tell you that the boiler, she's going to blow up in just a minute.
Well, what do you want?
Well, I'm on shore leave by yumpa dee minute.
Why, that's ridiculous. The boiler can't blow up, for my name ain't Robert Bull. Well, just call me Stinky.